and welcome to episode 25 of The Brand Lounge, a place for unfiltered conversations on big topics for small businesses, inspiring brand stories, and practical advice for entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Tammy Heels, founder of Shadow Cat Creative, where I'm a personal brand and marketing consultant for service-based businesses who want to build their businesses their way. And today I'm going to be wrapping up the year by sharing some of my reflections on 2020 and some of my goals within my businesses for 2021. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, grab a cup of tea, let's have a little review, and yeah, let's sum up this weird old year. Now, I found this episode quite a tricky one to record. One, because these solo episodes are so much harder than when I have a guest to record with, but also because it feels quite raw when the year has been such a mixed bag. But I created the Brand Lounge as a place for open and honest conversations, just as I say in the intro. So it feels like an episode that may be mildly uncomfortable for me, but that's because it feels so vulnerable. It might actually cover topics that would be of interest to other people or something that others need to hear. And that's what this podcast and my business has been set up for, is transparency and giving you, dear listeners, an insight into how others run their businesses so you know that you're not alone. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. So today I'm going to reflect back on some of the key ups and downs within my business this year. And I mean, going through all of them feels like a monumental task. So I'm picking out a few key ones that I feel would be helpful to explore. Then I'm going to be sharing some of my intentions and goals for 2021, because I think it'll be fun to see in a year's time how well that's come about. And I've actually gone through quite an in-depth goal setting process for the first time for next year. Like, it's not something that I've done in this way before, which is something that I'm also going to be talking about later in the episode. So I'm really happy to share with you both how I'm setting my goals and what they are, and perhaps that will inspire you to look at your goals in a new way for the new year. So grab that cup of tea and let's get cracking. I'll try to avoid using too many cliches, but hey, 2020, what a year. Now, I had my personal 2020 in air quotes back in 2018. So this year wasn't necessarily the worst on my sliding scale, but there's no denying that it has been flipping tough for everyone. This was my first year fully self-employed. So I started the year before any of the COVID pandemic hit with quite an overwhelming set of expectations for myself. And if you cast your minds back to this time last year, in the last few months of 2019, there was a huge amount of talk about how 2020 was going to be different, how the energy was shifting, and how a lot of the social media gubbins that we saw was all about how it was going to be the greatest year as we moved into the new decade. Well, it absolutely was different. Oh, dear, sweet, naive 2019. But overall, I'm not going to sit here and say that 2020 was a terrible year. It was tough. Like, we can't deny that. And I have no doubt that for some people, like, I can sit here from a place of privilege and say it was a tough year, but it wasn't the worst, when I absolutely understand that for others, they may not be in that situation. Whether you're feeling more positively or more negatively, all that I can do today is share with you my reflections on how this year has specifically affected my business, and in part what was and what wasn't linked to the global crisis that we have all experienced in one way or another. So I'm not trying to belittle any businesses that were negatively impacted, and I'm not trying to kind of dull the sparkle of anything that went particularly well this year. These are just my reflections from my personal experience. So if you want an insight into how my business was affected and see if there's anything that maybe you can relate to, then yeah, carry on having a listen. If not, no worries. We will see you in the next episode. So like we've said, it's been mixed. And rather than taking on like the global scale or talking about small business world in general, because I feel like I've kind of covered that in various episodes to various degrees up until this one, I feel like each episode we've kind of touched on the impact that various things this year have had, whether that's been global movements, whether that's been small business world changes, whether that's been the global pandemic. Like, there's been a lot that's gone on. But like I said, it's going to be tough to cover everything because there have been so many twists and turns this year that I barely recognize myself or my business from where we started way back in ye olde in January. But here are the key points I feel would be helpful to share. So we're going to start with a positive because, hey, why not? So this year, I can absolutely say with confidence that I have expanded my comfort zone. But I'm not going to lie, it has mostly been through necessity. I'm not sure if you can relate to that, dear listener, but it really has changed me and my confidence as a business owner. Like this time last year, I was barely comfortable doing a Zoom call because, I mean, who wants to see their own face while they're talking? But now, not only are 90% of my business and personal calls done on Zoom, but it's led me to feeling much more confident and more confident to speak on video, which is something I never thought would be possible. And without doubt, I can see a difference in my confidence levels and how that has been linked very closely to what I view as some of my favorite achievements of the year. So way back at the start of the first lockdown, I co-hosted a global summit of speakers for female entrepreneurs. And it feels like an absolute lifetime ago, but that's something I would never have dreamed possible even this time last year. And then in June, the Brand Lounge was born, initially as a Facebook group, and I went live once a week within that group to share my expertise. And like live video is just, it still baffles me that that's something that I now feel confident and comfortable doing week on week. And since then, the Brand Lounge has grown into this very podcast that you're listening to now. A podcast that I'm so proud of that I've entered it in for awards. All of this was born from finding a way to share my voice. And sure, these things could have happened without a global pandemic, but it kind of gave me the motivation and the space and the push that I needed to be more visible on platforms that worked well for me. Now, I love talking about what I do, and I know that my passion and my glorious sense of humor, you're welcome, translate much, much better when it's coming direct from me rather than through a character-limited social media post that just kind of gets swept up in the feed. It works for me, and without the need to look at my business in depth like I had to make it work in a time of crisis, I don't think that this would have happened, or at least not as quickly as it did. Which leads me on to the first downer of this episode, which is something that I feel I really want to discuss, even though it feels mildly uncomfortable, because hey, who likes talking about money? Well, actually, I like talking about money. I feel like as small business owners, it's one of the stigmas that should be shifted, but hey, that's for another story. But we are going to be talking finances. I mean, for me personally, this year sucked financially. I had months where I didn't make a penny and it was really, really tough. And like many other business owners, I fell between the cracks of the government support because although my business is over 3 years old, I was still in full-time employment up until October last year. So I didn't qualify for a lot of support because I hadn't been an independent business owner with no other income source for at least a year. I did, however, qualify for a bounce back loan, which after much debate, I did take, and it literally kept me afloat for a while, for at least a month. It was literally the saving grace that I had. And I did take the work that I could, but I found that it was particularly towards the beginning of lockdown. It was really, really tough because, you know, everyone was suddenly on this emotional reaction and this knee-jerk reaction, trying to find out where their businesses were going to sit within this completely, I'm going to say it, brace yourselves, unprecedented event. I mean, there's no way we could have planned for this. However, we could have planned for a crisis, which is something we'll talk about in a bit. So one of the positive things that came out of the financial disaster that was my world at the time, a little bit melodramatic, but hey, it actually encouraged me to spend time looking at the cost within both my businesses and my personal life. And I realized just how little I actually needed to get by comfortably, which was really good to know. It was really reassuring. And I think if nothing else, 2020 really has helped everyone as far as, like, I'm going to go for the sweeping generalization. I feel like it's helped everyone realize where their priorities lie. And if you're feeling a little bit financially unstable, there are ways to cut down costs on the non-essentials most of the time, because you kind of realize the value of everything else that we have and that we're missing. But time for some honesty. I mean, I don't know how my business would have grown or not grown this year without everything else that was going on. And this is a bit of an insight that I felt a little uncertain about sharing because it's very personal, but you know, I'm here for you guys. And I think it helps to have these insights and have these conversations. So at the start of the year, I know that I was really lacking in confidence. I was really lacking in clarity in my business. And I was feeling really lost after launching into self-employment with not much of a plan and much, much sooner than I was expecting to. Like, things had happened and escalated within my day job at the time that meant that I quit very quickly. I hit my first 10K month. And then I just had a complete wash of confidence, like the mental drain of the last few months of my employment combined with the kind of taking the plunge into the world of self-employment without really thinking it through. It was beginning to take its toll. So I was already struggling with the employee to entrepreneur mindset at the very start of this year. I talked about this quite a bit in episode 7. So if you are interested in more on that, you can go and listen to that episode. So it was kind of a rocky start to the year for me personally before everything else went tits up. And when I finally felt like I was beginning to get to grips with my business, that's when lockdown hit. So it was yet another blow when I was still picking myself up. And I kind of feel like lockdown was awful, but a saving grace at the same time, because it gave me the chance to step back and be brutally honest with myself. And like most people, I had my emotional reaction with a very large side order of catastrophizing. But overall, it felt like now more than ever, I could relate to others and others could relate to me as the entire small business world entered this shared dilemma. But I found that the more that time passed and the more that I saw some businesses, particularly in like the branding, marketing, and coaching world, they were absolutely thriving. And the more I found myself getting caught up in this massive sense of lack and fear and imposter and comparison, it was just such a downward spiral. And it was a really rough ground to lie on. And it was really difficult. Like, trying to stay positive and focused and show up every day when financially I wasn't seeing the outcomes I was hoping for. And I was really striving for something that wasn't materializing. And I'm not someone who is solely driven by money, but when you are used to being able to cover at least your base needs, because I had until that point really been taking home a decent wage only until a couple of months beforehand, it was really hard to kind of avoid giving yourself a permanent pity party, particularly when this was the year that everyone would give you permission to stay in that space. Like, it's 2020, it's fine, you know, give yourself time, give yourself space. You can stay in that pity party if you want to. And it was just, it wasn't great. And mentally, I have found it very difficult to overcome some severe money blockers that I had had that I didn't realize were associated with kind of my sense of well-being. Luckily, I had a wonderful coach to work with, so I will pop her details in the link below. Thanks, Adina. Yeah, for me personally, I don't feel like COVID or lockdown or whatever else this year poked holes in my business. I think that for me, I realize after some very brutal self-reflection that actually it just made the holes that were already there bigger and more obvious. And it was really a bit of a wake-up call for me, because I realized that my business wasn't working the way that I wanted it to, mainly because I'd had this significant shift from being like a side hustle to being a full-time job. So it gave me that opportunity and that space to really set about changing what I wanted my business to be. And this kind of leads me into my next positive, that this year, not only did I treat myself as a client and go through the whole rebranding process that I do, but I also switched up my core offering from design to consultancy, which is a move that has just felt so wonderful and just lights me up. And I'm so grateful that I gave myself the chance to push and make that change. I mean, it was always on the cards that I wanted to evolve the business to be more strategy focused rather than design. But I didn't think that that would happen for a couple more years. And I also really didn't quite know what I wanted that to look like. But through working with and interacting and generally mingling with so many other businesses, like globally, because the whole world opened up thanks to video calls and the internet when you can't see anyone face to face. Spending time listening and reflecting on what they said, I realized how much more of an impact and the way I wanted to help these businesses by building something that would really make a difference. It really helped me to kind of realize that the way that I was feeling at the start of this year, where I felt so lost and I wasn't sure what I wanted within my life and within my business, that's exactly where I can help others. So it led me to develop a service that I am feeling so happy, so aligned, and so flipping proud of that I know that next year is going to be the one. Like, this isn't a sales pitch. If you're curious, I'll put the link to the website in the show notes. But genuinely, I'm so excited to see this new evolution of my business. And when I look at the choices that I've made along the way, like starting this podcast or rebranding earlier in the year, expanding out of my local area, and a bunch of other seemingly small and isolated choices, I realize that actually they've all been steps towards what I'm building now. So I know that this is the right direction. Even if it took a year and an apocalypse to bring it all together, I know that I've been on this path. It's just been sped up so much more because of the events of this year. And speaking of choices, as thrilled as I am to have all of these different platforms from where I was a year ago, this year, more than ever, has solidified for me the role that I want social media to play in my life. I personally think that while the community aspect of social platforms has been absolutely monumental and key in helping myself and many others during this crazy year, I know that at least for me personally, it has also contributed a huge amount of overwhelm and of feeling like I'm not doing or being enough and like I should absolutely be smashing the year. And the contribution of that and the impact on my mental health, which was already fragile, as we touched on earlier, before any of this happened, and then just exacerbated by the rest of the year and the sequence of events that took place, it just really wasn't a great place to be. There was so much noise and so much emotion and so many opinions from everyone that it was no longer something there that could be ignored. Like, everyone who was no longer distracted by their day jobs or their sense of normality, that it just turned into a place that I didn't want to be, but felt like I had to keep showing up on social channels to try and grow what at times felt like a failing business. And it was torture. And I'd log in knowing that I was going to feel worse, feeling anxious about checking my business page or writing a post that, for me, it was just the pressure. It felt like every piece of content I put out onto a social channel had to be the absolute perfect balance of emotional vulnerability, expert business advice that adds value, in air quotes, because whatever that is, whilst also expressing my personal views and intentions on the global issues, but still be entertaining and upbeat and authentic. And it's like, how can anyone balance that? It's absolutely insane. And it really made me realize just how much power I wanted to give to my social feeds, which is not a lot. I'll happily discuss the drawbacks of relying on social media alone for business in another episode. And ironically, over in my Facebook group, links in the show notes. But for me, I just found it all too much. And it made me sad. And I didn't want that on top of everything else that we were all trying to balance and deal with. And I will be honest and say that I didn't deal with this in the most strategic way, which is something that I'm working on for next year. You'll find out in the goals. But a lot of the time, I found that I simply just stopped posting. It felt too overwhelming. And I was so worried that I would get it wrong, whatever that would look like, that I just stopped. And if you've done the same, like, that's absolutely fine. This year has been an anomaly, and how we deal with it, we take a break when we need to. We deal with it in the way that we need to. But there are better ways of dealing with it that we can plan for. So ideally, what we need to be doing, And this is just a little bit of the practical advice that I'm sure you've come to know and love on this podcast, is if you are feeling overwhelmed by your social media channels, take a break if you need it, but work out what your intention is for each of your core social platforms and what part you want them to play in your business, and only give them enough headspace and energy from your day to do just that. So for me, it means making them a fun place that I like to hang out and share, like things that I think would be helpful, things that I think are fun, literally bringing the social back to my social platforms and mingling with others rather than having to sit there and scroll through a feed. So get those beautiful boundaries in place, try out new things, but remember that social media can be balanced. And I think that this year that balance shifted heavily. And for me, not in a way that I liked. So we're correcting that. But I mean, overall, those are just a few of the points that I've kind of reflecting back on over the year, but they feel like they've been quite significant, like the financial impact of COVID, but then giving me the opportunity to get a better handle on my finances, to really understand and appreciate where my money was best being allocated. It was a good balance. Identifying that social media actually became such a drain on my mental health that I needed to readdress my relationship with it. That's also leading into something for the way that I want my business to be marketed that I'm really happy with. Having the confidence to grow my business in the way that I want to and starting new platforms that work for me that may not be the ones that you would typically expect a small business to take on. So things like podcasting, Facebook Lives, running the group, running a summit, all of these things have given me so much confidence that I just feel like my business is expanding at a rate of knots, because my goodness, I thought that I'd be here where I am now in about 5 years' time. So I know 2020's got a lot to answer for, but at the same time, I feel like it's provided me personally with the push that I have needed to address the things that needed addressing that I don't know if I would have got round to as quickly without. So overall, looking back at the year, I've achieved so many things that I'm insanely proud of, and I really feel like I've grown as a person. It's given me the sense of aspiration and ambition that I always had in my employed life, and it's just been amplified so much now for my business for the coming year, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. And I'm incredibly grateful for the community and the support that I've found that I've had around me, or that I've discovered and nurtured over this year, because I feel like there are people out there that made it possible to get through this year in more of a complete peace than I think I would have been otherwise. So I'd love to move on with the rest of this episode, where we're going to be talking a little bit about some of my goals for next year, because I personally love hearing what other businesses have planned and their intentions. So I would love to share this with you as well and hope that you feel the same. So I'm actually approaching goal setting in quite a different way to the way that I traditionally do it. So that makes me sound like I've been a goal setting queen forever, when actually the way that I've set my goals previously is thinking about what it would be cool to earn, writing that down on a post-it note, having it attached to my monitor, with usually some rough notes around it of show up on social media, grow my Instagram account. So I am well aware that you need measurable goals. And although I have these kind of spattered throughout the year, this is the first time that I've intentionally sat down and not only set my annual intentions, but also broken down both my quarterly and my monthly focuses for the goals that I want to set. So I'm going to talk about that a little more, because I feel like previously, where I've always been outcome focused, it's been really, really difficult. And by outcome focused, I mean setting goals that are things like hitting 10K months or earning X amount on my program or making X number of sales or having X number of clients, like an outcome. It's really hard to connect to that, because actually they're not within your control. It's up to the client if they sign up with you. It's up to the people who choose to buy that's going to contribute to your income. So yeah, you can influence, but it's really hard to connect with goals that are outcome driven, because they're not yours to control. But what is in your control, and something that I am doing now for next year, is focusing on intentions and behavioral and action-based goals. So these would be things that you actually have control over rather than just leaving it up to chance. I'll talk you through a few examples of the ones that I have. So for 2021, I've got my yearly intentions, I've got my quarterly focuses, and then I've got goals for three specific areas of my life, all with the theme. So I guess my word for 2021, which is going to be consistency. Ooh, so sexy. Consistency is my word for 2021. Now, given the fact that abundance was my word for 2020, I feel a lot more connection with consistency than I did with abundance. I think it's just because I find abundance a really fun word to say. And I like the intention, like the thought process behind it. But consistency, as sexy as it sounds, is going to be what makes me feel that my business is achieving what I want it to achieve, because it's something I can control that can move me closer to my intentions and those outcomes that we would love to have. I'm not going to go into very like minute detail on each of these, but I'm more than happy to talk about them. So if you want to DM me, if you're curious, I'm more than happy to talk more. But for the sakes of this podcast, I'm going to talk about the three areas that I'm going to focus on. And it's really funny because when I put these goals down on paper and I looked at them, I realized that the three areas that I'm looking at are actually areas that I have found to be either unhappy or I'm looking at differently from the events of 2020. So the three areas of my goal setting that I've decided to focus on are health, wealth, and business. Now, it's not going to be one of those ridiculous script writing fonts that you can stick on your wall because, although, no. So these are my areas that I'm going to be focusing on. So I'm going to just talk you through each of them very quickly so you kind of get a feel for the way that I'm setting these behavioral and intentional driven goals rather than outcome based goals. So the first one is health. Now, health for me in 2020 has come to a whole new light and level. And health for me covers things like not only my physical health, nutrition, and exercise, which is all good stuff, but it also includes prioritizing my mental and emotional health. So in these goals, I have things like building a self-care routine, maintaining boundaries or setting boundaries, setting time aside for personal development because I feel happy when I'm learning. And I've also included some seemingly random goals around looking after the space I have around me, so mostly my home. But because the space that you spend time in, and I'm sure that we can all relate to this after the amount of time we spent at home this year, the feeling of the space around you can have a strong impact on your health, both mental and physical, and even emotional. So my yearly intention is to build consistent habits that are going to prioritize my mental and physical and emotional well-being. And I'm going to do that by breaking it down to, you know, looking at my nutrition, looking at my exercise, decluttering my home. So I have broken my goals down into quarters, and then I've broken those down into weeks. So it just feels a lot more manageable. They will be broken down into daily goals as well, but I'm not going to plan out 365 different tasks for the next year for each of these goals now. We're just going to see how the weeks go. So the second area that I'm focusing on for my goal setting for 2021 is wealth, or rather it's finances, but health, wealth, and business has better alliteration. So that's what we're going with. So for wealth, rather than setting a financial goal, although I do have financial intentions, which is kind of my ideal outcome. So the ideal amount of money that I'm going to make each month, or the ideal amount of money that I'd like to make over a year, and where that money can be invested and allocated, which is the important thing. It's not just about having the money, it's about knowing where that money is going to flow to next. For the purposes of my behavioral and action focus goals, I really want to be focused around how to build not only a consistent income with my business, but also learning how to better manage and understand my finances. For far longer than I probably should have, I know that I've been guilty of using the phrase, I'm not good with money, which not only isn't true, but it is actually just a convenient thing to say to brush something off. Like, you're not taking responsibility for it. And it's actually quite a damaging affirmation. So this next year, I've included smaller goals like, I have time scheduled for regular financial check-ins. I want to get my tax return in as early as I can. Implementing the Profit First method, which is a fantastic book if you haven't heard of it, one I definitely recommend reading. And then I've got breakdowns from there to allocate, like I said, where the money's going to flow to. So savings for things that arise within the business, reinvesting in equipment or in coaches or programs, whatever it is that I need to. And then also some personal savings and things like contributing to my home and the space that I'm in. So it links back to my health goals, or saving for a wedding, since one of my personal highlights of this year was getting engaged. So this allows me, through better understanding and managing my finances, it will give me that flexibility and clarity to not feel fear every month when I think of my finances, because I know them inside out and I can plan ahead rather than panicking at 3 a.m. when my brain reminds me of something completely random that I've probably done, but not quite sure. The wealth side of things for me is very much about learning to manage and understand an area of my business that I find quite daunting. So mini goals would be booking some training on Xero with my accountant, moving over any automation that I can, making sure that I've got a process for my expenses. So things like that that can be worked into my business processes that are kind of half written, but maybe not followed to the letter and to the degree that I would like them to be. So that's the second area that I'm focusing on for 2021. And finally, the juicy one, which is business. It was really, really difficult. I found business the hardest one for me to set my goals around. The other two are challenging because for me, they're changing behaviors that have been present for a long time, but I do know what I need to do in order to make those changes. Whereas for my business, or soon to be businesses, it was much, much harder, not because I didn't know what to do, but because there are so many things that I want to do. I'm sure you can relate to that. There's just not enough hours in the day, and I don't want to work harder. I want to work smarter. So it was much more difficult for me to kind of work out what goals I wanted. But again, learning from this year, focusing on one thing at a time has been far more beneficial for me than trying to do everything at once. I don't think I would have been able to develop my new consultancy program or go through my rebrand or manage some of the other projects like the Global Summit and the podcast as effectively if I hadn't put time aside specifically to focus on those and building those. And trying to do everything all at once, similar to the way that I felt about social media, I found that it was causing overwhelm and I ended up not entirely sure where I was and everything just felt kind of off. So slightly different to the other two goals and two areas that I've talked about already being health and wealth. For the business goals, I've only actually outlined the first half of the year rather than a whole year. Now, I've done this quite intentionally, because not only does my business feel relatively shiny and new after switching the focus to the consultancy in the last few months, but if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that everything can change so quickly. And particularly at the moment where there's so much uncertainty, even over the next month, it didn't feel right for me to set an annual intention and break that down at this stage. So instead, I've set the first half of the year, so the first 6 months, two quarters, with my goals in detail so that I can still see how the business develops, work through how the consultancy program is going, make sure that that's working well for all my clients, making sure that we're getting the feedback that we need, but also because where I'm looking to launch a secondary business, I need to make sure that everything is balancing and that will move and flex depending on how 2021 starts off. So it's okay to move your goals and adjust them. And it's even okay if you only want to set goals for the next 3 months, if setting goals for the next year feels overwhelming. The other two for me are things that are habits that I want to bring into my life consistently throughout every aspect of my life. So personal and business finances are always going to be needed alongside health. So I feel like those kind of work for a year, but when it comes to the business and my intentions for that, I feel like 6 months at the moment is eminently optimistic in how that's going to go, but in long enough to give me focus and to make sure that the goals and actions that I'm taking are having the impact that I want to have. So the first thing within these goals for my business is to treat my business like one of my clients. And just as earlier in this year, I put myself through my entire branding process, I'm going through my whole consultancy program with my business alongside my clients, so that I'm making sure that I'm practicing what I preach and making sure that everything is working in the way that I want it to. So one of my goals is to make sure that my business is doing exactly what I help others to do, because it's so easy not to do that, isn't it, guys? And the other goal that I have for the first half of the year is showing up consistently through my various platforms in a way that feels good for me. So we talked earlier on about how social media is beginning to feel quite overwhelming and a lot of pressure. So I've reformatted my entire content strategy to make sure that it's working in a way that feels good for me, feels good for my business, feels good for you guys, so you get as much value as possible. Because, you know, I love talking about what I do. I love helping other business owners work out their marketing and their branding. So being able to do that in a way that still feels fun and still feels enjoyable, then absolutely that's something I want to focus on. But it's that consistency that I need to stick to. So other goals for later in the year may include things like additional income streams or growing the Brand Lounge, both the podcast and the group, and also working with and supporting as many service-based businesses as I can, whether that's through my content, whether that's through this podcast, whether that's through us working together. But all of them focused around that, embracing a new way of building your business and doing it your way, just as I'm doing it my way. So there's kind of an insight into my goals for the next year, which have been, as you can see, quite heavily inspired by my reflections of this year just gone. And I hope that you found it interesting. I would absolutely love to know how you're setting your goals, or even if you're going to, given how bizarre 2020 was and how quickly things are still changing. So if you want to come on over and continue the conversation, I'm over on Facebook and Instagram. All the links are in the show notes. And be sure to tune in to the next episode, which is actually airing on New Year's Eve, which was perfect timing. And it features some amazing business women sharing their advice for 2021. So it's definitely not one to be missed. If you want to come on over, first week of January in the Brand Lounge group, I'm going to be hosting a live training, which focuses more in depth around how you can set behavioral and actionable goals as opposed to setting outcome-based goals. And hopefully that'll give you a little bit more insight into how it can work for your business. I'm aware this has been a very me episode, but I hope that it's given you a bit of a look into someone else's business and maybe inspired you at looking at your own in a slightly different way. So I'm just going to end this, because this will be the last episode that I do solo for this year. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so, so much to each and every one of you for your support of this podcast. It has been such a dream to bring this to you. And I really appreciate every comment, every review, every share, and every download. And it's just been absolutely incredible. I cannot wait to bring more glorious guests and more practical advice to you in the new year. So yeah, just thank you so much. It genuinely means the world to me that you guys are there to support the show. And I really hope that you do find it helpful. So yeah, make sure you let me know, because I'd love to hear from you. And until next time, I'm going to leave it on that sappy note for you. And until 2021, guys, I will see you in the Brand Lounge.